Hi, my name is Laura E., and I'm a compulsive eater bulimic. So, we are about to embark on a journey of recovery. Maybe. At least we are contemplating it, and we are terrified. At least I was sitting in the back of a workshop at the Minnesota Convention in 2001. The synergy of a convention is palpable. We can feel it right now. First of all, we are back together in the same room. And hope fills the air. The hope of maybe something different than what we have been doing, the hope of rekindling our program, the hope of making new friends, seeing old ones, and sending inspiration out and receiving inspiration in from one another. But I was not ready in 2001 to make the necessary change. So how did that happen? For me, it was the clarion call to grow along spiritual lines. And I was not a saint. I began restricting food at age 14. I went to great pains not to eat, pushing food around on my plate, spitting food out in a nearby potted plant once at dinner when I couldn't politely decline a dessert. I counted calories, meticulously ran blocks if I had gone over my allotment, and once went 3 days without eating anything, and was very lightheaded. I was obsessed. It came from a razor-sharp desire to be perfect. I was raised by the best. I don't know where my mother got it, but it was handed down to me, and then I made up my own story about either I had to be perfect or shot at dawn. I restricted successfully for 2 years, then all holy heck broke loose when I was 16 and working on a research paper, and the fear of not getting an A gripped me so tremendously that the perfectionism I had established with my food went out the window because of the perfectionism about my grades. I ate some sugar that I found in the downstairs refrigerator, and I was off and running. Well, more like lying down for the next 24 years. What that looked like when I was a high school teenager was eating normal during the day until 4 p.m. when binging beckoned. I would come home from school, raid the kitchen cabinets, eat a dinner with my parents, and then once they went to bed, rifle through the pantry, which contained the biggest containers of what could be undetected. Cereals, graham cracker crumbs, cookies, peanuts. I graduated to family-sized bags of chips, peanut M&Ms, holiday candies. By the bag, I would hide in drawers. When I got to college, I know I studied, but I can tell you more about the grocery store, the Quick Trips, the drive-thrus, the Bendoland. I traveled the country with a theater company in my 20s, and because of the nature of the work, I felt the need to eat a lot and also drink a lot and smoke a lot. I am no saint. I moved to Minnesota, Minneapolis, and became familiar with the co-ops and eating healthy snacks now covered in carob, yogurt, and honey. All sugar. I went to my first OA meeting in 1986, tried unsuccessfully to get abstinent, did have a period of 8 weeks of white-knuckling it, only to succumb to the disease when I had some fear and feelings about my mother's health. Bulimia became part of my story in my late 30s, so now I've basically added a half hour onto my binge routine. I hung myself over the toilet, forcing myself to get rid of my binge. I broke blood vessels in my eyes and damaged my teeth. I had no insurance, so could not qualify for any kind of treatment, and if I did have insurance, I wouldn't have been ready. Now, the whole point of this is at this time, I'm thinking of myself as a very spiritual person. I always wanted to seek and do the will of God, my higher power. So after my mother died, which was a watershed event for me, I woke up to the fact that this was not dress rehearsal, this life thing. I came to the convention a little more open-minded and readiness. As I said before, I sat in the back of the room at that jumping off place. Now, the fear of not having a life loomed larger than the fear of giving up the food, but I could not imagine giving up my food. And so I feel my true spiritual journey began when a kind-hearted person leaned forward, those of you who know my story know, looked directly into my eyes and asked, "Oh, Laura, don't you want to be a clear and open channel for God?" Something happened in that moment. I could see that what I said I wanted was not happening because food was choking the channel. I could not grow along spiritual lines if I was continuing to come home every night to a bag of Supermom cookies and 2 pints of Ben and Jerry's. I could pretend to care about you. Pretending is one of my best skills. But I couldn't really be present to you. Because as you were talking to me, I was really thinking about getting home to whatever I still had in a bag, box, or container. And I was going to shut my door and be able to unhook from all of you and from all of life. It was difficult to live my best life when the most important thing to me, the thing that made life worth living, was my bowl. The bowl with which I filled with any kind of goofy, gloppy, salty, crunchy concoction I could create that was just for a second going to take me away to a place I didn't have to think or feel. I took my unsaintly self to a meeting the following week after the convention. I felt terrified, yet ready to make a change because now I understood that I had to change. It's a very simple idea. I have to change if I want to experience change. As I said before, I have a great fear of failure that has been baked into my DNA. I will probably be a recovering perfectionist for the rest of my life. So when I began to read and study the Big Book and came to the chapter, How It Works, I was relieved. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. What a beautiful and kind way to lead us into this program of recovery. We know the founders of AA chose words very carefully, and I love the beginning of this chapter. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. That's what I realized I had to do now, completely give myself to this quest. No longer could I somehow squeeze program into my life. Program had to come first, and everything else had to fit within that framework. This is one of the biggest changes that I've made. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Dang it. As I divulged before, I am no saint. And as the Big Book states, there is a period of reconstruction that has to happen if we're going to move forward. If I want to grow along spiritual lines, I have to catch myself up when I have the desire not to tell the cashier about the extra change or the checkout person at who forgets to scan the extra set of plywood boards at IKEA. Or if I have said something that warrants an apology, or finally make that overdue amends. Thank goodness for the ninth step, right? It's why I can still look people in the eye in this town. Well, I didn't make the best choices, but that's the beauty of the 12 steps. To grow along spiritual lines, the 12 steps have become a living, breathing, in-the-moment way to problem solve. It's a structured way for my thoughts to process out the tangled skein of yarn in my head. I sometimes imagine the 12 steps as a conveyor belt where you put a blob of a problem on one end and it kind of gets jostled up and down through the steps till it comes out the other end where I discover, oh, I got to do some service. The steps are living, breathing ways to problem solve for me, and not just what I used to think. It's like yellow placard on the wall of the meeting, you know, but just stayed up there, or at the most, as something you just did once and then put in a drawer. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way. all the easier, softer ways, right, that bring us to an OA meeting and an OA convention. One of my program friends says that what we do is the easier, softer way. With all the earnestness in our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Okay. Rarely have you seen a person fail, so now I'm going to be as fearless as I can through this process, and I won't have to go it alone. Because now I know all of you are out there trying to do the same thing. I will admit that in my pursuit of growing along spiritual lines, I can sometimes be more comfortable with just me and my higher power than with you. I mean, I know that my higher power embraces me, loves me, sees me, but to grow along spiritual lines, I got to deal with other people. I think that's probably what life on planet is about, dealing with each other, because that's where it gets messy. So definitely is where I can grow more, and I'm willing to grow. Remember that we deal with alcohol, for me, food, cunning, baffling, and powerful. When I finally understood that I was different from other people, that was so relieving to me. It relieved me of the bondage of trying to be like other people when it came to food. I cannot eat one Dorito without the craving kicking in. I got a lot of years of research. I am cut from different cloth. I will not grow new legs, but there is a solution, and that's what I share with all of you. Without help, it is too much for us. Ah, darn it again. I need people. I literally have sometimes thought that it would be so much easier if there was nobody else on the planet but me. I seriously have thought that before recovery. In fact, my boyfriend and I joke that we want to wear buttons that say people. Yeah. But of course, we're all here to learn and grow together. That's the whole idea. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Yep. That's how we define our higher power. Any way we want, as long as it's not us. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. I love that word, abandon. There's something so illustrative about that image. Abandon yourself to God. Abandon yourself to this program. It's so freeing and trusting. Do not be discouraged. This encouraging language from people who were not saints either has helped me throughout my growing. When I have read about the trials and tribulations of putting the AA program together, it has really helped me, because sometimes I can be challenged within our program. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. Yeah, get out of jail free card for not being perfect. So deep and meaningful. A sponsor of mine once encouraged me to try to get a B on things opposed to an A. Like, I got a B job. I did a B job. I was a B secret Santa this year. It's okay. Try it on that one. That's an easy one to do. We are not saints. The point is, we are willing to grow. Can we ask anything more of ourselves but then to be willing? The principles are to be set down are guides. Yes. Again, loving, caring language. These are not edicts, rules, things to beat ourselves up with. These principles of growth and the willingness to embrace change are guides to progress. So I just want to finish here with what my current life is like as I continue to try to grow along spiritual lines. Like Bill W., who synthesized ancient wisdom into what we know as the 12-step program, I have synthesized bits and pieces from many sources. First of all, if I'm feeling cranky and crabby, I literally have made up a cranky snake dance that I do in my kitchen. If I begin to riff on anything I can think of that I'm grateful for, from the fact that I have hair to my shoes are comfortable that day, I can feel my brain change. So it's a very active engagement with listing the things that I appreciate about my current situation. Some days I'll begin to riff on them in the morning, and then I'll come up with the most obscure, interesting things by the end of the day that it just tickles me to report them on my 10th step. Two, when I get up in the morning and place my feet on the floor to walk towards my cell phone, I say with each step, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Three, I will sit when I can every day, or at least as often as I can, in what I call a God sit, where I just sit quiet and just listen. I bet some of you guys already do this. And I just listen, and then whatever I get, I write it down. Is it my imagination, my higher power, whatever? It's always encouraging. Like a cheerleading squad, not yelling at me, but you know, like really encouraging. I have found it very uplifting and useful to practice. This is a big one lately. Extending grace to myself and to others for missteps, for mistakes interpersonally or just really about anything. And this is too, if I can forgive myself, that will help me forgive others and keeps the summit of the spirit flowing. It's not always an easy task, but it's so healing and worth it. And I meant to bring, but I forgot it. In the old sponsor boxes, we used to have these 11-step prayers, and I pulled it out. It's all tattered now, but I do them every day after my assignment, and I kind of chicken scratch on it. You know, I abandon myself to you, God, and here's all my problems and concerns, and I began writing on the back of an envelope what I was concerned about, and now it's like completely chock full of tiny little chicken scratch writings, and I just lift it up and go, okay, I've abandoned myself and all these problems. A lot of them are the same ones, like my God box on an envelope. There's some great, great sayings on there. My two favorite sayings are, God, order this day. God, order this talk right now. God, order this conversation. I mean, literally, driving here, God, order myself finding the Crown Plaza tonight in the dark. Lastly, lately the practice of humility that I find Bill W. exemplifying in some of the earlier Grapevine articles that I've read recently are a good example of what I want to follow. I also feel empowered when admitting how many things I'm powerless over. My shoulders just drop. And then that step two comes right after that, a power greater than me, yay! And then I imagine I have these God shelves everywhere around me that I go, okay, I'm going to put this on a God shelf. You got it now. You got it. It's right up there. That's helpful. I can grow spiritually if I know that I don't have to be right all the time, that I don't have to be perfect, but that I can be willing to be open to critique, to instruction, to let people contribute to me. And all of this with the desire, with the hope, with the prayer to be a clear and open channel. And with that, I pass.